But then she went on to volunteer the information that it had been an awful mistake on her part to sign up for this other course, because it hadn't turned out to be nearly as profitable as she had hoped it would be. As a matter of fact, she said she was bored stiff sitting through it every week, and she wasn't getting anything out of it. And of course, she was also sorry that she had invested over $100 in it and 6 months of her time. Now, of course, it is not up to me to decide what is profitable for her. But since she had already determined that the course was not profitable, I simply suggested that she quit going to the other course and take this one. "Oh, I can't do that," she said. "I've already got $100 tied up in that other course. I've got to see it through now." Well, what she was saying, in other words, is that since I have already thrown my money away on this, I will now throw away my time too. Because the fact of life is that the money is gone. It is irretrievable. There is no way you can redo the decision now and get the $100 back. It is gone. So the question is, what am I going to do from this point forward? Give up my time too, in addition to the $100? Or just simply accept the $100 as being gone and use everything else that I have left to the best possible advantage? What is my most profitable course of action starting from right here, not a few months ago, but right where I am now? Now let's look at one more example. This one what I consider to be a correct attitude toward the concept of prior investment. A friend of mine is a singer, and she plays the guitar, and she owns a guitar that she paid $500 for. Now, she recently borrowed a second guitar, which has been offered to her for sale for $250. Well, after playing the second guitar for a few days, she finds that she actually likes it much more than she likes her own guitar, even though the first guitar, the one she owns, cost her a great deal more than the second one would if she decided to buy it. So now she is planning to buy the second guitar and probably sell the first one. Now, she's calculating the situation in advance because she knows once she acts, she cannot reverse history, and she wants to act in such a way to put herself in the best possible position. So in calculating it in advance, she is trying to figure at what price she would have to sell the first guitar in order to come out ahead on the transaction. Now, most people would say in order to come out ahead on the transaction, she would have to sell the guitar, the first guitar, for $500, since that's what she paid for it. But of course, that's wrong, because for only $250, she can buy a guitar that she enjoys more than the one she had already. So that means if she can sell the first guitar for only $250, she will have come out ahead, because she will have simply traded one guitar for another one that she likes better without it having cost her anything in money. Now, this, of course, is not taking into account selling expenses or any other miscellaneous expenses that might be involved. Now, this doesn't mean that she will automatically go into the marketplace and offer the first guitar for $250. She may get $500 for it or even more. But the fact of the matter is, which is important to her in calculating in advance, that anything she makes over $250, anything she receives for it over $250, is clear profit to her. Now, since all of this is being estimated in advance, she can then take into consideration her real cost, which would be $250. But once she buys the second guitar, history is then irreversible, assuming that there's no money-back guarantee on it. From then on, even the $250 is no longer a figure to be considered. If she finds that the highest offer on the first guitar in the marketplace is only $100, then that is the reality of the situation, not what she paid for it or for the second guitar. At that point, she still will have two other considerations available to her if she finds she can only get $100 for the guitar. One would be, is owning two guitars instead of one worth $100 to me, or worth more than $100 to me, and if so, she may keep the guitar then rather than accept $100 for it. Or secondly, is there a chance that the market will go up in the future so that I will be able to get more than $100 for it if I wait? If so, she may want to wait, but only if there is no more valuable way to use the $100 in the meantime, because the principle would be the same as with regard to the Douglas stock. Why wait out the guitar for 6 months to get another $50 or $100 out of it if there is another way you could take that same $100 you could get for it now and increase it to $200 or $300 in the same period of time? But when you become locked on the item itself and what you paid for it, then you are blocking off all of the most profitable alternatives to you and fastening on the one that is obviously not the most. And of course, there is no point anywhere along here that she will say to herself, "I would be crazy to sell for $100 a guitar that I paid $500 for." Because to say that would mean that she was really saying, "I was crazy to pay $500